Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Wow!
Nice!
Yeah!
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
The National Obsession with John Cadogan and Charlie Baker.
You are listening to a Christmas National Obsession with Christmassy Joan Cardigan and and Christmassy Charlie Baker, full of Christmas cheer. When I did this show last year, this one, John, I think I was drunk. I think I was on the phone and at home and drunk.
Yes, that's correct, because you actually interrupted the proceedings at some point to take some Amazon deliveries.
Oh, did I? Which is exciting. But I'm still working this week, working till the 22nd, John, so... You know, that's how it is. It's only Tuesday. It's not Christmas yet.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's the National Obsession, a National League football podcast. And we're not going to... It's going to be a bit different. It's not going to be that different, though, John, is it? It's going to be pretty...
It's still the usual stuff. But to be honest, in terms of actual news, it's a slow week.
We don't care about the trophy particularly, especially now we're out.
We don't recognise it. I actively turn my back on it.
That's your thing.
Well, yeah, that's just...
That's your attitude to it. I like the trophy, and if we'd gone further in the trophy, I think we got a hard draw early on.
We did. We went out 3-1, lost to Boreham Wood, down to 9 men. But do you know what? They drew Blyth Spartans away in the next round, so that saved us about an 800-mile round trip.
Oh, my God. That'll keep them in good spirits. Blyth spirit is what I was going for there. John?
Instead, would you like to hear about Paul McCartney, which was the much better event over the weekend?
Before we carry on with the football, which we will, John went to see Paul McCartney. I would say is your hero, John.
He is my hero.
Other than Gary Johnson and Rodney Jack.
Gary's creeping up. Rodney's always been up there, but McCartney's
dream dinner party guests,
me.
John. Hit it.
Hit it. Paul McCartney would be up there. Can it just be us two?
That's a date, isn't it?
I think that's actually...
That's all right. I mean, that's fine as well. You know, that's up to you.
David Attenborough, I think, would be interesting.
Who's rung and cancelled on the night?
I think David Attenborough would be a stimulating conversation.
Would you be doing your impressions of these people in front of them?
Possibly. Yeah, I might.
Do you think you'd get sick of it?
Walking in through the front door. And he'd just turn around and leave.
He'd be furious, mate. He'd be so sick of people doing his voice to him.
Music ticked off, that ticked off.
Gary Johnson and Ronnie Jack.
I'd probably
be a lopsided evening, wouldn't it?
It would be a little bit. I think I would have... But I mean, he's dead. Can we exhume Spike Milligan?
Well, you can do, yeah. You can do.
If he wasn't dead...
Spike Milligan. Okay, I suppose it's in a dream.
Yes.
So anything can happen in a dream.
Well, he's my sort of favourite comedian, performer type.
Getting to know me, John, showbiz story for you.
Oh, okay.
Worked with his daughter.
Did you really?
Played Aladdin once. She was my monkey. Nana's. Jane Milligan, very good singer, very good actress.
The only problem was if Spike Milligan, they say about don't meet your heroes. I think he may possibly. I'm not sure he'd actually be great company, but I'd like to find out.
Who knows? You never know, do you?
Yeah.
You never know. Yeah. And?
Well, I think it would have to be something Torquay United related then. I think I'd Leroy Rossini.
What a boring dinner party. All men, John.
Hashtag me too.
Hashtag me too. No bloody women. Get out.
Yeah. No, Leroy's coming as well.
Leroy's coming, is he?
Yeah.
Well, that's a good one. Leroy's a good one, yeah.
He is good company.
Is he? I've never
lovely man.
Oh, how do you know him, John? Just through TalkSport?
Yeah, I interviewed him for a university project. Oh, he's been in here a couple of times.
Is there was it a written university project or a...
It was a kind of journalistic feature about the lack of black managers in the game with audio. So I went.
Could we hear it?
Probably.
Could we have it as
a
New Year special, John?
Year treat.
Be lovely,
yeah,
wouldn't
it? Okay, I'll find that.
Dream dinner party. No idea. I've never... I know it's the sort of question you meant to be able to go, oh, yeah, definitely. Dun, dun. Because a lot of my heroes turn out to be b****s, John.
Yeah, well, that is the problem.
Like, I used to be like love Frank Sinatra. Like, absolutely love Frank Sinatra.
Not a nice
man. And I've read every single book about him. And he's just a misogynist p***. And you just go, oh, dear, no, we really were barking up the wrong tree there. Joni Mitchell, but then again, I think she'd like not want anyone like anyone else there. When you read interviews with her, she's like so forthright.
She's too cynical for a dinner party.
No, she'd be great. She'd be great. You think she'd spoil it? got some fun people, haven't you? Is the thing. But then all comedians are all a bit miserable.
Yeah.
Off. I don't know. John is the thing.
Do you know who would be good? Michael Parkins.
Oh, God. Is this so you can do a voice, John?
And Ronnie Corbett.
And Ronnie Corbett.
That'd be my dream guest. Ronnie Corbett, Michael
Just
Caine.
Just people that you can do. Whispering Ted Lowe. Like, oh, dear.
Where's
it's
that
dinner.
Hot plate going?
Well, I was lucky. Like, you know, I was lucky enough to work a lot with Harry Hill. And
yes.
I worked with him. And I went to dinner with him once, and he invited 10 of... Well, it wasn't just him. He'd invited 10 of us to the Garrick Club.
Wow.
Getting to know you. And it was such a brilliant evening.
Yes.
And it was a real mixture of people. It was like the head of... Like, one guy was the head of art at some big art college. And the other one, another guy was Brian Bellow from Big Brother, but who invented The Only Way is Essex.
Yeah.
He invented that. He's a really smart guy. But it was a real... And his brother was there. But it was like a really brilliant... Tim Vine was there. It was a really good evening. It was really...
Harry Hill is one of those people who never... You aren't disappointed if you meet him. You want him to be Harry Hill. And he is Harry Hill.
He is Harry Hill. And he's also the... There's a lot of bellies in this business. Mm. And he is the nicest, genuinely nicest man.
Yeah.
Like, beyond the call of duty.
Yeah.
Just great.
While we're asking questions, what's your favourite Christmas song?
Ah, yes. Very good. Now, because this changes a lot, John.
Yeah.
It changes a lot. But for the last, I'd say, 10 years, it is Driving Home for Christmas.
It's always been my favourite as well.
Because I just love the melancholy
of
it, John.
Yeah, I love it.
And when you are driving home for Christmas...
Yeah.
If this comes on,
I'd
lose my mind, John.
I think it's one that you appreciate more as you get older.
Yeah. And if you can't wait to see some people's faces.
Yeah.
Top to toe and tail back.
I love it. It's such a great song.
If you've ever been in a traffic jam on Christmas Eve, and you're driving home for Christmas. When I used to do a lot of work around Christmas.
Yeah.
I'd be driving on Christmas Eve. I absolutely love it.
Yeah.
But I like sad songs, John.
Yeah, so do I.
I like Paul McCartney, Simply Having a Wonderful Christmas Time. Now, John, I know how this has just come up is that you went to see Macca Sunday night. You're an absolute hero. Where was it, John? Just a little pub? Pub gig?
No, it was the O2 Arena, the only drawback of the evening was having to be in that complete hellhole.
You have to let that go.
Evening itself, it was the greatest night of my life.
Was it, John?
Bar none.
Bar none. The greatest night of your life.
My voice had gone completely by the end.
What did they open with?
Hard Day's Night, which is a great opening. Yeah.
No one knows what that chord is. It's an odd chord, isn't it? I think it warps or something, or it goes through a funny speaker or something. Yeah.
And then it was just absolutely just about 40 songs.
40
non-stop.
Songs?
You play for 3 hours.
Non-stop, no break.
Non-stop. And it was
Didn't need a wee, because that age of man.
Yes. Yeah, well, I didn't see him go.
That age of man.
Maybe he's got some sort of device fitted. I don't know.
Has a little bag there, John. So did he go Beatles, bit of Wings, Beatles? Did he play Jet? Woo!
He didn't do Jet, but he did
obviously
do...
Obviously the National Obsession, John.
He did Let Him In.
Blackbird, did he do a little acoustic?
Oh, Blackbird, that was just incredible.
Does he play that himself, John?
Yes, just on his own. Absolutely. Down the front. Front of the stage. I mean, Let It Be.
Yeah.
I had absolute chills. But then... singing along, I kept singing Speaking Words of Wisdom, Jamie Reid.
Well, that's all right.
But I couldn't actually remember what the proper words were. All I could sing was Jamie Reid.
Because the proper words are Jamie Reid.
That's true, yeah.
Yeah.
And then to top it all off at the end, he brought Ringo Starr on stage.
Yeah.
And they played Get Back.
Well, you've seen the Beatles.
And Ronnie Wood was playing guitar.
You've seen the Beatles.
I've seen as much of the Beatles as possible
to see.
Controversially,
was it brilliant, John? It was amazing.
Incredible.
You've had the best time of your life.
It was the time of my life, and I almost controversially preferred the Wings stuff to the Beatles.
No, that's not. Paul has developed as an artist.
Yeah. So coming back, you've agreed that Driving Home for Christmas is your favourite Christmas song.
The one I've found recently, though, is Jethro Tull, Solstice Bells. Play that, John. While we're waiting, John, do you know who Jethro Tull was and what he invented?
Did he play the flute?
No. So, well, yeah, he did. That's the band.
Oh, right, fine.
But do you know who Jethro Tull was, John?
No. I don't even know. Dental Pemberthy, that one.
No. Jethro Tull is the inventor of the horse-drawn plough.
I did not know that.
No, the horse-drawn seed till.
Right.
And he lived in Cromarsh Gifford in Oxfordshire.
Did he really?
Which is over the bridge from my house, John. That's the only reason I know it. Here it comes. What do you think, John? It's about solstice. Winter solstice.
Yeah, I find that sort of thing all a bit weird.
There's no Jesus involved. There's no Father Christmas involved.
It's a bit steel. It's a bit too steel eye span for me.
Similar thing. Yeah. All right. Okay.
Christmas song.
Yeah.
I think it's on the Christmas album, isn't it?
Yeah. What are we doing on the show then, John?
Do you want to work out what's coming up on the show?
On the podcast.
Podcast.
Are we going to do any news?
Well,
have you got a bit?
No, it was the FA Trophy.
FA Trophy. So and you can I've, look. You can look those results.
Well, I refuse to even recognise it.
Google FA Trophy, and you'll find out the results and do your own puns. Lovely little Christmas game for you.
You can do that yourselves, because frankly, I'm not doing it for you.
John, that is rude to the Fox.
Hey, we've got a focus on.
A focus on.
Yeah.
Who was it last time? Truro.
Truro. Truro Bloody City.
What's up? We've got some Truro City news.
We have. Yeah, we'll speak to our correspondent in Truro.
There was a news story today. Tuesday today. Big news.
We've got a quiz of some sort.
Quiz, John. That's sort of a Torquay United-based quiz. We have an actual letter.
Yes.
From a listener.
A parcel from a listener.
An actual parcel. Not just an email.
Lyrics.
A parcel from a listener.
Yeah.
Very good. And the big thing is, John, of course, it's Christmas.
The thing that everyone has been waiting for. We've been trailing it for long enough.
The one-year anniversary of A Christmas Call.
Following on from... It's the hotly, eagerly anticipated sequel
to
The Christmas Call.
John, are you sure about this?
The Nat Obstivity.
Are you sure?
I feel like I should give it another stab. I don't think I did myself justice last year.
Okay, well, it's up to you, you know. It's up to you. You know you got a lot of stick for it. And in many ways, it spoiled the whole podcast.
Spoiled Christmas.
For a lot of people. It ruined Christmas. Last year, you ruined Christmas, John.
It's what the people want. So who am I to ignore them?
The National Obsession.
It's time to focus on...
Wealdstone.
Wealdstone. What? Mm. We must be near the end now, John.
We're coming Woking, up. I think there's Woking
Wealdstone,
and Welling.
Woking, Welling.
I think that could be it.
Oh, Wealdstone, Woking, Welling. Oh, go on.
Do you want to hear some...
Wealdstone.
Do you want to hear some facts about Wealdstone?
It's like they're not... It's like they are just like they haven't even got a club.
Well, they are slightly nomadic, and I will come on to this. They were founded in 1899. The team playing royal blue shirts, white shorts, and are nicknamed the Stones. So I thought
we'd do a bit of... the Stones. Wouldn't it be lovely, John, if they came on dressed as different era...
Rolling Stones.
Jagger.
Yeah.
you know, Keith Richards, different era of Richards.
Yeah.
Charlie. Watts,
I don't think you'd. Yeah.
All the different bass players could be represented.
You wouldn't want 60s Keith Richards playing up front.
You'd get up to 11, though, John, because how many bass players have they had? About 50.
Yes, very true.
Including subs. Wouldn't it be lovely that. It's amazed no one's taken on our idea yet.
So they named the Stones and also the Royals.
That's
their other nickname.
Why would that? Where are they based?
Royal Blue Shirts.
Oh. Is that the only reason why?
I think so.
Not like Reading, who are in the Royal County of Berkshire.
No, I don't think so.
Who are also the Royals. Where are they? Where are they? Where is Wealdstone?
It's North
Kent.
London. It's like, it's Harrow. So yes, they formed in 1899. Didn't last very long, though. 1906, a notice was posted in the local newspaper stating that the club was being disbanded due to a lack of interest. You might...
Cancelled due to lack of interest.
I've been there this season. You might say, what's changed?
Well, I've been in a few TV shows like that.
But they reformed in time for the 1908-1909 season. By 1923, they'd been through four different grounds. In 1946, fun fact fans, they appeared in the first ever televised football match. Ever.
Ever?
On the BBC, they showed part of their league match against Barnet.
Barnet-Wealdstone was the first ever...
televised football match, 1946.
Well, that's a derby, is it? That's a derby, Barnet-Wealdstone.
Yeah, it is, yeah. So that's one for a pub quiz.
What a lovely pub quiz question
pub
that
quiz
is.
Question.
What was the first ever televised
You never get it in a million
match
years,
in
but you will
UK.
Now. In the 90s, bit of a troubled time, financial problems, they led to the club selling their ground. They signed up to an expensive ground sharing arrangement at Watford's Vicarage Road.
Oh, God. Did they?
Yeah. Anyway, they kept getting relegated, ground shared with... Yedding, Edgware Town, but made their way back up through another ground share. In 2008, they acquired their current ground, Ruislip Sports and Social Club, which I've been to, and it's terrible.
That's where you went, is it, this year?
Yeah, I went there. Okay. We won. You enter. The turnstile is like a shipping container.
Oh, God.
Yeah, it's pretty
Sounds
grim.
A bit bleak, John.
But another fun fact for fact fans, it's got a gun turret in one corner of the ground.
I think someone told us this, didn't they? I think Tom Greatrex wrote in about this.
I think he did. Yes. It was used to protect the nearby Northolt Aerodrome during World War II. Shame we didn't play there when Gary Owers was the manager. Yeah. Otherwise we could have shot him.
Well, that's not very nice, John.
No, it's not very
nice. We didn't like Gary Owers, but let's not try and kill the man. maybe just maim him.
No, but I didn't say
just,
where.
Just his knee.
Him. But a knee. Aim
just
for the
his
knee.
Right knee.
2013-14, they went up as champions up to the Conference South, where they've been ever since. 2017, Gordon Bartlett stepped down as the manager after 22 years.
Oh my God.
He'd been at the club. A day later, Bobby Wilkinson was appointed manager from Hungerford Town. He's still there at the moment, so Bobby Wilkinson is in charge. Notable former players.
Go on.
Include the QPR legend Don Shanks, obviously nicknamed Armitage.
Nice, yeah. I bet he was as well.
One for fans of toilet makers.
I bet he was as well.
He had a bit of a bad boy image, actually, but he turned himself around. It was the Don Shanks redemption.
That would be the most niche film. Any famous people from Wealdstone?
Do you want a few famous people?
Yes, please.
Well, the problem is Wealdstone isn't really a place. Harrow is sort of the nearest conurbation.
So if I put Wealdstone... Very nice.
Peter Andre was born in Harrow.
Was he?
Yeah.
What's the Australian link then?
I think he moved there.
From Harrow?
Yeah, when he was young.
Very nice man. Did I tell you about that? I've told you about my brush with Peter Andre this
year.
With
Andre?
This
year? Your brush with Andre?
You're like this, John. I had to share a dressing room with him, and he was changed, and I had to get changed, and I had to take my shirt off in front of Peter Andre.
He looked after himself, isn't he, Peter?
Peter's like still fully six-packed up.
Yeah.
I am not.
But how many times has he cycled the Dartmoor Classic?
Has he ever done it in the rain, John?
Exactly. Barry Cryer lives nearby.
Right, okay.
Are you a fan of Barry?
Move on.
Ian Drury from Harrow, from the Blockheads fame.
They're brilliant.
Great band.
There's a brilliant band.
Roger Moore used to live there. I also did him for Hemel Hempstead because he used to live in Hemel Hempstead. I think he's lived in every National League. He's actually a big fan.
That's what it is.
And so he's lived, I'm just moving down to Truro. Pam St. Clement.
Oh,
lives there.
Yeah, that's a nice one.
Do you know her when you were doing Tim Reynolds?
She wasn't bring back Tim Reynolds. Hashtag bring back Tim Reynolds. She wasn't, gig last week. I feel like I've told you this. No, I told someone else. Gig last week in Tring, spread to the front row. Where are you? What'd you do? What'd you do? I work at EastEnders.
Is it Phil Mitchell?
No, Linda. She was called Linda. all right, that's nice. She went, you were in EastEnders. I went, I was. She went, Tim Reynolds, you were. And I went...
Well, it's just a bit like Yoda.
I went, Tim yes, Reynolds, Tim you Reynolds, were. You were. I went, yes, bring back Tim Reynolds. But that was as far as that the conversation went.
Well, it's tiny acorns, etc. Yeah. And finally, W.S. Gilbert of Gilbert and Sullivan
oh,
fame.
Oh, that's a good one.
The current coach, Bobby Wilkinson, is, of course, a very model of a modern football manager.
Very nice. You could have done a... Do you know what? In shows past, John,
yeah.
We'd have based a whole bit around that.
We would have done. We probably would have, you know, done a song. Went now.
Written a whole song. But it's Christmas, isn't it? Everyone's winding down.
Yeah. That's all I've got on Wealdstone.
That's Wealdstone.
Yeah.
Well, my opinion of them is, to me, they're 3 points.
That is a very good summation.
6 points. They're four to six points over a season for me. And that was Focus on Wealdstone.
The National Obsession.
This is the National Obsession. Now, John, I don't know if you saw in the news today. It's Tuesday today.
Yes.
And this morning, a Russian cargo ship got grounded.
Bloody hell.
Off the coast of Falmouth.
Oh, no.
I don't know if it's National League related or not.
Yeah.
But I've got a number of the Russian captain for us to call.
Ah,
his
okay.
name's Igor Dudny. I need the loo, but...
I better speak to him.
Maybe you want to give him a call.
Yeah, fine.
I'm just out to cover the gap.
I'll give him a buzz, okay, I suppose.
Yeah, great.
Igor Dudny, Truro City, what's on, comrade?
Igor, it's John from the National Obsession here.
Who?
It's the National Obsession podcast. We're a podcast in England about National League football.
No.
Okay, well, I mean, look, I've spoken, I don't know if he's a relative, but...
I don't know who you are.
I've spoken to Ivor.
Are you calling for me to pay for the bridge?
No, well, no.
We ran aground outside Falmouth to avoid paying the bridge.
Oh, right. So that's what happens, because, yes, okay, we speak to...
Now we are in Truro, and being very finally welcomed with free pasties.
I mean, what you need to do is go and find a man called Ivor Dudny, who I wonder might be related.
Ivor Dudny, I have met this man. I killed him with my bare hands.
Oh, God. Well, I mean...
Because he said he would rename the ground the Stadium for Moscow. The Stadium for Moscow.
Did he mention a ground share at all?
No. Yes. I have tried Salisbury City. I tried to get rid of them. But now I am in Truro.
Can you take Clark Osborne with you?
Yes, I'm taking him to Pizza Hut. Is there one in Truro, do you know?
Oh, have you got any other plans why you're sort of stuck in Truro? I mean, I guess someone's going to come and rescue you, but are you going to do anything
yes,
else? You're
I'm
gonna
going
go,
to go... Is there anywhere that is... I don't want one theme park. I want three theme parks. In one. Does this exist?
Yes. Dobwalls?
Ah, I have heard of the Dobwalls triple theme park.
Yes.
I've heard it's a wonderful day. Three fabulous attractions for the price of one.
You should get a job with the Cornish tourist board, Eagle.
I'm not hanging about in Falmouth. It is full of f***ing hipsters.
Well, I mean, look, it's been lovely talking to you, Igor.
Hopefully
you get rescued soon. Hopefully Ivor's okay.
Goodbye, Joan Cardigan. I wish you a Merry Christmas.
And you. Dobre utro.
Dok svidanya.
The National Obsession.
It's time for Talky Corner.
I know you f***ers. Sort it out for f***ing sake. F***ing rubbish. Run faster, you f***ing f***ers. Referee, you f***ing. Are you from f***ing Cornwall?
Yeah.
There he is. Probably is from Cornwall. Well, there we are, John. Talk United, John. Out.
Playing out the trophy.
Loads of people injured.
Yeah.
And a couple of people sent off. So,
don't care.
Slight disaster.
Not great.
But We've only Hampden and Richmond.
I'm going to try and get to that on Saturday.
I'm going to try and go, John. Maybe I'll see you there.
Okay,
yes, I'm meant
to
be playing Saturday morning, but I think I might be called off.
My local game.
Oh, I'll be good. Definitely go, John.
Yeah.
That's definite 3 points.
Yeah. Big news of the week, really. Far more interesting than all that. Aaron Downes was back.
Yeah, that's great, isn't it?
I'm pleased about that. A favourite player of ours from down the years has come back as Gary's assistant manager.
Now, Gary said he was very proud of the team on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't he? Against Borehamwood.
Yeah.
And he often says that, but I think he says it in slightly odd circumstances, John.
Okay.
So I've got a little game for you, a little quiz for you.
Ooh, right, I love a quiz.
It's Is Gary Proud of You? Welcome to Is Gary Johnson Proud of You?
Thank you. It's lovely to be here.
Okay, this quiz, I'm going to give you three different match scenarios. And all you have to answer is Gary proud of you?
I like this a lot.
Okay. Match one, John. You've won 2-0. A goal in each half. You've played quite nicely. Here's the question. Is Gary proud of you?
Yes, Gary's proud of me.
So you think yes, Gary is proud of you?
Yes. Final answer.
No. Gary's not proud of you, no. John. You've just done your job that you're paid to do.
Oh, okay. Damn it.
Second scenario, John. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
You've won 5-0.
Yeah.
You've absolutely thrashed the team. Absolutely thrashed them. 5-0. Goals from all over the team.
Sorry, such a big start of the music.
But here's the question, John. Is Gary Johnson proud of you?
This is a tricky one, this one. I'm going to go with no.
He said yes before and it was no. The answer is no, John.
Yes.
Gary is not proud of you. Just doing your job.
Yeah.
Okay, final one. You've won 1-0.
Yeah.
You scored after a minute and defended the rest of the game. You broke your arm, but you carried on. And it snowed halfway through the second half with the game. Sort of should have been called off. It got dangerous. And it was in the Devon Bowl. So there's your scenario, John. Mm-hmm. Here's the question. Is Gary proud of you?
This is a tricky one.
Yeah, it's a hard one, isn't it? For the win, John. Is Gary proud of you?
No.
Gary is proud of you, John.
Oh,
you are wrong. Gary is proud of you. That was this week's edition of Is Gary Proud of You?
The National Obsession.
It's time for letters from a listener.
When you go, will you send back a letter from a listener?
Lovely. You were just saying, John, that you thought your... When seeing Paul McCartney live, you thought your impression was spot on.
Well, I don't like to blow my own trumpet.
It's like when I saw Ted Lowe live. Ted Lowe.
But I didn't realise...
Too blue for TV. I didn't realise,
that my Paul McCartney's actually really good, you know.
It is good, John.
And what the folks can't see is that I'm doing this sort of pointing thing and, like, the head
You can
back.
Play guitar. You can play all the instruments, John, as well. Bass. So why don't you join a Beatles tribute act?
And I can sort of do the, like, the point. So actually, I realised it's actually really good anyway.
Very, very Peace good. Any letters, John?
Yes.
Oh,
we
how
start
nice.
With Lee Cloak, who was Foff. Oh, God.
Four.
11?
No, 11. We never found
no,
Foff.
No, Foff was still in
Foff
mystery.
11,
I think Lee's Foff 11.
Thank you. On the ice to you,
if
Lee.
If you send an email, sign off with your Foff.
On the ice to you, Lee.
He says, hello, Charlie and John. Hope you're both well.
We are.
We are.
Very well.
I've come across some information that may be of interest to you. Ooh. With regards to the Kieran Cadogan, John Cadogan mystery.
Lovely, yes.
Were you aware that Kieran Cadogan is in fact first cousin to talkie left-back Liam Davis?
No, this is a nice link, isn't it, John?
He says, John, are you left-footed and partial to a bit of trickery down the wing? If so, we could be onto something on the Ice League cloak. I'm not left-footed, but I did used to play left-back was my position at in youth football.
Very good. You're very much the Kevin Nicholson.
Right, that rarest of things, a right-footed left-back.
Lovely. Thank you, Lee. On the ice, you. Lovely bit of... Lovely. Wonder if we can get some family connections to any more of our brilliant team.
Mm. Well, let's see. nationalobsession@gmail.com if you've got anything. Another Lee. Lee Pettifer says... Gentlemen, I want to say how much I enjoy Pod 55, although like a good many other listeners was shouting Ted Lowe at my phone.
I can imagine it. When I was listening to it, I was thinking everyone's going to be going, Ted Lowe. Oh dear. Oh dear. He's forgotten the name.
He says, I'm glad that someone else dislikes all the s***.
It's
a growing
on,
club.
It's caught on too.
He also says, great to see Torquay on the National League Roundup programme. The pitch looked fine. What were Welling on about? I was slightly disconcerted by Mad Dog's derby. Yes, Mad Dog has got a bit of a belly on him these days, Mad Dog Allen. And the sheer enormity of Coasters manager Dave Chan on his ears.
Well, I haven't seen those.
Does Dave Challoner have big ears?
Dave Challoner's ears.
Oh, he has. Oh. Look at Dave Challoner's ears.
Oh,
bloody
nice.
Hell.
Like at the FA Cup, John.
There we go.
That's a nice one. Dave Challoner's ears is a lovely name for a racehorse.
Anyway, lovely. A couple of lovely emails
Thank
there.
You,
Thank
Lee.
You very much for those.
On the ice,
Twitter,
Lee.
On the Twitter at Nat Obbs Pod. We had a fantastic contribution from Jane Kelly. We were looking for a star to go up on top of our very small tree. We've retweeted this picture so you can see it at Nat Obbs Pod. A Christmas tree with a printed out picture of Gary Johnson
Which
on top.
Which is excellent work,
fist
Jane.
Bumping, fist
excellent.
Pumping.
Fist bumping.
Fist bumping.
Lovely.
Very good. Well done, Jane. I think
well done,
we need
Jane.
To encourage Talk United ornaments this
yes,
Christmas.
Yes, very, very good. Now, John, exciting news. An actual parcel from a listener.
A parcel from a listener.
When you go, will you send back a parcel from a listener?
Exciting, isn't it, John?
Hey, look at this actual real parcel.
It says Charlie Baker and Joan Cardigan, the National Obsession HQ, and then my home address, which, because...
Is that National Obsession HQ?
It's not. It's come from my sister in Cyprus.
I was going to say, we should possibly have had that security screen.
Exactly.
If not.
So my sister has sent this from... My brother-in-law works for the United Nations in Cyprus.
Oh, what? John. Wow.
So this could be anything, couldn't it?
Now, I would describe this sort of parcel as about the size of a slow cooker.
So far,
I'm hoping it's arrived
not broken. So,
there's a lot of sellotape on it, brown paper. Oh, there's another parcel that says pass the parcel.
Joan, it's for you.
Oh, should I come through and get it?
Come through, Joan. Come, it's for you, Joan. Isn't that nice? Very good. Take it back to your mic. Don't stay in here.
I mean, should we have some Christmas music while we're there?
I think so. It's an actual letter from a listener. Thank you, Sarah. Dear Joan and Charlie, I am an avid listener to your show, not just because Charlie is my brother, but that is probably part of it. Because it gives me a chance to keep up with all the National League and TUFC news while I'm living overseas. I'm enjoying the podcast so much, I've even started listening to repeats. However, I am perilously close to having to re-listen to the two bad episodes again.
Just trying to get this open.
Might be something coming up for you, Sarah, there. Anyway, due to a recent bout of illness in my children, I found myself with a bit of free time. So in between administering Calpol and saying they're there, I decided I would create something to show my appreciation, say thank you for your excellent show.
She calls it a show. I thought I could smell
pain. I hope you like it. On the ice, Sarah, I look forward to joining you at a girls' match when I return to the UK. Talkie till I die. Up the girls.
There's a very strong smell of paint.
I smell sort of
being
spray paint or something here.
Quite noxious fumes. This might affect the Nat Obstivity.
Now, I wonder how this got through.
Has it dried, whatever it is? Hang on, what on earth is this? I can see
a... There's been a lot of love gone into... It's gone very well. It's gone very, very well.
Oh, my God, it's a Talkie Gnome.
Talkie Gnomes.
And the paint's wet.
Oh, and my... the paint's a bit wet.
No, my foot's fallen off.
And my foot's fallen off as well.
Oh, that's
a disaster. We can fix that, John. for your new
that.
Home, John.
With an it's a talking United gnome who seems he's sort of attached to a rock.
Taking
with
a picture.
National Obsession.
Taking
logo
a photo,
on it.
Putting it out on that Ob's pod.
Look at that.
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
Oh, that's so fun, kind. I mean, I did say the other week that I find gnomes a bit creepy.
But it's lovely, isn't it?
Bit of super glue will fix
that. She's done
that.
A lovely job on the National Obsession badge.
Look at that.
Tell you what, merch. Sarah.
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 Thank you so much,
Baker.
Sarah.
Thank you so much.
That's
You've
really
surpassed
kind.
Yourself.
Bloody hell.
An excellent piece of National Obsession merch.
Limited edition.
That's that. Is that letters, John?
That's it, I think.
Letters and parcels from a listener.
Yep.
Thank you very much. Do get in touch at NatObsPod or the email address, John.
NationalObsession@gmail.com.
NationalObsession@gmail.com. It was letters from a listener.
When
you go, will you send back
a letter
a parcel from a listener?
The National Obsession.
This is the National Obsession. And, John, it's time for, I mean, you're going to claim sole responsibility for this, aren't you, John?
Yes, I've learnt my lesson. Brevity is the key word here.
John, would you like, you, on the ice.
God bless
John,
us.
John, you introduce
each
your...
Each and every one. Hot off the back of A Christmas Call last year. This is the sequel, A Nat Obstivity.
Oh.
This can only go better. A long time ago, about 63 years ago, when King Hours ruled South Devon, God sent the angel Gabriel to a young woman who lived in the northern town of Nazareth. The girl's name was Mary Johnson and was married to Joseph. The angel Gabriel said to Mary, "Peace be with you. God has blessed you and is pleased with you." Mary wondered what the angel meant. The angel said to her, "Don't be afraid. God has been very kind to you. You'll become pregnant and give birth to a baby boy, and you will call him Gary. He will be God's own son, and his kingdom will never end. He'll go on to achieve multiple promotions and take a small provincial team from the non-league all the way to the championship."
Ooh.
Mary was very afraid, and to be honest, not that hot on the ins and outs of the English football pyramid, but she trusted God. At this time, the land where Mary and Joseph lived ordered everyone to return to the town where they originally came from in order to enter their names into a census. So Mary and Joseph travelled a long way, about 3,000 miles from Nazareth, to Mary and Joseph's family home of Hammersmith.
Oh.
Joseph, Mary and their donkey, which they unfairly named Benyon, travelled very slowly because Mary's baby was due to be born soon. When they reached Hammersmith, they had problems finding somewhere to stay. As a last resort, they even tried a budget option, but was told there was no room at the Premier Inn.
Oh.
"Lenny Henry will hear about this," shouted Mary, even though the Midlands actor wouldn't commence his partnership with the cheap hotel chain for at least another 50 years. The only place to stay that they could find was with the animals. So, in the stable where the animals slept, Mary gave birth to Gary, the son of God. Gary's bed was the manger that the animals ate their hay from. In the hills and fields just outside the sort of M25 region, two shepherds called Ronnie and Michael looked after their sheep through the long night.
Oh, no.
That's my word. You know, I'm one of those shepherds, am I? If only I could see over this wall to watch my flock. Language, WD, language.
I'm a shepherd. My name is Michael. And this here, the eyeball. It's Michael's cane. You're only supposed to blow the stable doors off.
Lovely.
As the new day began, suddenly an angel appeared before the shepherds, and the glory of God shone around them. The shepherds were very scared, but the angel said, "Don't be afraid. I have good news for you and everyone. Today in Hammersmith, a saviour has been born for you." But Gary Johnson was born in Hammersmith, by
okay,
the way.
Yeah.
That wasn't clear. "Today in Hammersmith,
move
a saviour has been born for you. You will find the baby lying in a manger. He will go on to have a very good eye for a player, a positive outlook on the game, and he'll have a brother born who will make a good scout one day." So the shepherds journeyed into town, catching the central line as far as White City and then changing onto the Circle line to Hammersmith, and found Mary and Joseph. When Gary was born, a brand new bright star appeared in the sky. Some wise men in faraway Leighton saw the star, and guess what it meant? They were very clever men that studied the stars and had been around the block a bit, and had read in very old writings that a new star would appear when the great king was born. They set out to find the new king and bring him gifts. "We three kings of Orient sing, John Sitton, Barry Hearn and Martin Ling."
Oh.
The wise men followed the star towards Hammersmith. This is very confusing, isn't it?
We've had the shepherds, we've had the kings. I'm just seeing how far we've got along the story. Carry on,
Not
John.
Too much fun to get. The wise men followed the star towards Hammersmith and began to ask people, "Where is the child who was born to be king of South Devon?" Just take the Central Line and change at Holborn onto the Piccadilly Line. Alternatively, hop off at Liverpool Street and get onto the Hammersmith and City or the Circle Line. But make sure it's one going in the right direction, not to Edgware Road, they replied. Thanks, said the three wise men. Hours, the King of South Devon heard about all this and it made him very angry to think that someone might be coming to take his place as king. So Hours sent for the wise men to come to him. He told them to go on following the star until they had found the baby king and said, when you have found him, let me know where he is so that I can go and worship him. But King Hours and his deputy Prince Hearse did not tell them that he really had an evil plan in mind to kill the new king. The wise men followed the star towards Hammersmith. It seemed to stop and shine directly upon the place where Gary was born. Three wise men entered the stable and found Gary with Mary. They bowed down and worshipped him. The wise men spread the gifts that they had brought before Gary. The gifts were Holmes, Franco Farrell, and Murphy. And that really does not work in the slightest.
Franco Farrell.
Gold, yeah, Paul Holmes, yeah, yeah. Holmes, Franco Farrell. Holm. That does work, frankincense, and Murphy, Rhys Murphy. When the wise men had gone, an angel appeared to Joseph in a dream. Get up, the angel said. Take Gary and Mary and escape to the sort of Cambridgeshire area. Stay there until I tell you, perhaps moving to Yeovil and Bristol at some point too, for Hours is going to search for Gary to kill him. Ooh. So Joseph got up, took Gary and Mary during the night, and they left for the Cambridge Newmarket area, where he stayed until Hours was dethroned. Gary was then free to take his rightful place as the King of South Devon. Early thoughts?
Is that it? Or is there more, John?
That'll do.
What happens next?
Well, that was just... Yeah, I mean, I wasn't going to tell the whole Bible.
It's very wordy, isn't it, John?
Yeah.
It's very wordy.
Would you believe it if I told you I wrote that last night?
I can see what you're getting at.
Because I don't think it shows.
I don't think it shows, John. You've done a lovely
job. Wrote that all in one
Some
evening.
Some lovely
all
jokes.
In about an hour
Some
and a bit.
Some lovely jokes in it.
Well, it was all right.
Have you...
It was certainly shorter than the 12-minute long Christmas call from last
shorter
year.
Shorter than that. But I think it was not Christmas, John, without you giving it a good go. Gold. You must have been able to get closer to gold than Holmes.
I tried. I looked through a list for Steve Talking United
Bold.
Players. That would have worked.
There we are.
Sorry.
Well.
I feel like I've ruined the episode now.
John, it's what everybody likes.
Look, let's wait and see what the reviews when they come in, let's, when they say. You can't start Christmas without
start
a Christmassy story.
Let's leave
Christmas is here.
At Nat Obs Pod.
Yeah.
Let us know if you enjoyed it. John, God bless us everyone.
Yes.
Happy Christmas.
Happy Christmas one and all.
Happy Christmas
see
on the
you
ice.
See you in 2019.
See you in 2019. Goodbye.
The National Obsession with John Cadogan and Charlie Baker.